Well, here we are on the last Sunday of the calendar year, looking forward to New Year's Eve and then New Year that comes after that, and we'll probably talk about that a bit more next week. But I was looking at our lectionary text today, and it seems a little interesting to me, at least, that we go from Advent, where we have those four Sundays of preparation for Christmas, that wonderful time that allows us to extend the delights of Christmas for more than the 24 hours that so many people try to cram everything into, a sense of anticipation that even continues past Christmas Day itself into this Sunday, the first Sunday after Christmas, still part of the Christmas season. But I looked at our lectionary text, and we go from those Sundays of hope and peace, joy and love, into Jesus being 12 years old. And we sort of just skip over all that time from when he was born, wherever that was. I don't know if you've heard any of the buzz about the Pope's latest book. Apparently he is taking a bit of a run at the notion that sof our romantic view of Christ's birth in a stable with friendly cows and such might not be entirely historically accurate, to which my initial and probably final response is, so what? He was born, that's the important part, and if he was born in a cave somewhere, it still doesn't matter. We'd be missing out on some really good hymns if we would have had a cave instead of a stable. So we'll just leave it at what we think and move on from there. But we skip over all of this stuff to get to Jesus when he's 12. And I think it's because Jesus' upbringing was completely ordinary. That there was nothing that would set him aside from anyone else until at 12 he disobeyed his parents, at least that's what it looks like at first, until he realized that he was beginning the process of working out what it meant to be him. Parents seemed to be at least resigned, if not happy about the fact, when he explained why he had skipped out on them. Frightening your parents is never a good idea. I'm not entirely sure it's always, it's somehow required to be a sin. In this case, I don't think it was. But Jesus began the process at this point. This is where we see him stepping into the role for which he came on earth. And so if I was thinking about that, that's what led me to the sermon title of So Now What? We've gone through Advent, enjoyed that time of preparation, that time of anticipation. We've gone through Christmas Eve, the high point of the season for some, and the second high point to the others, and then to Christmas Day, where the roles are reversed, at least as far as presents go. And then we think, well, now what? Jesus is born. What do we do now? Well, we don't have to go through all of those baby steps any more than we need to be told that Jesus went through baby steps, because we know he did. He was a perfectly normal child. He fell down a lot, and he cried, and he ate, and he slept, and he grew just like everybody else. He went through that stage that's so distressing to parents when children don't realize that they begin to walk that their head extends above their eyes. It's an actual developmental stage to realize that this part of your head is attached to you, which is why children at the right age and the right height will walk into the same table more than once. There's nothing wrong with them, they're perfectly normal. And I'm sure Jesus did the same kinds of things. And then suddenly we're with him at 12 years old, where he begins to do what he came to do. And that leads me to now what for us. And that comes from Colossians. Our Colossians reading begins with, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. It goes on from there. In the same way that in one sense we chronologically leap from Christ's birth to his first explicitly outward movements towards what he's called to do, so do we. Because this is what we are supposed to do. we are supposed to clothe ourselves with these things: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so when we look into the new year, these are the things that we need to be aware of and need to work on. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that we work on these as if they're brand new, because they're not for any of us. These are things that we have been working on all last year, and presumably from the time we came to any kind of a meaningful faith, and perhaps even before that, following the example of our parents. But this is what we're called to do. And in the same way that we go from Jesus' birth directly into his calling, we can do the same. We can go from the delights of Christmas into this reminder that this is what we are called to do. We are called to be these sorts of people. We're called to clothe ourselves in these characteristics, in these habits or behaviors. Now, clothing is an interesting thing. Everybody wears it. Sometimes it's a surprise to other people what we're wearing. But honestly, unless for whatever reason we get dressed in the dark because, you know, whoever my spouse is still sleeping or whatever the case might be, really none of us will arrive somewhere, look down and go, oh my goodness, what's this? No. We look at the clothes, we put them on, and we choose to put them on because that's what the day holds. I wear this because it's Sunday. My preaching clothes, as Neela calls them. So if I wear them for some other reason, she'll ask if it's Sunday, because the job I have wearing a suit just means that everybody's going to ask you one of two questions: are you going to a job interview, or is there a funeral? So this is what I wear today. I choose this on purpose. Well, we all choose our clothes on purpose. And I don't think it's just a chance selection of words where Paul tells us to clothe ourselves with these things. We choose to put them on. Now, it's a little bit tricky here, because we need to remember that even as we choose to put them on, they're already within us. That when we moved into this relationship with God through Christ, the Holy Spirit came within us, came into our beings, and brought with that spiritual indwelling all of these characteristics. So they're there already. And I've seen all of you exercise them already. But when we choose to clothe ourselves in them, it's a reminder that we need to choose this on an ongoing basis. As I've said before, it would be convenient if we couldn't sin, if we were somehow prevented, and we always acted in these ways: compassionate, forgiving, having the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts and all of that. It would be convenient, but it would take away part of our essential humanness. And we may not like it, and some days, as I've already said, some days I don't, but God has chosen to trust us with choice. He's chosen to trust us with this responsibility that we will choose well, knowing that we won't choose well all the time. But he's given it to us as an ongoing possibility, an ongoing option. And so as we choose this going into a new year, it's not like we're suddenly going to be wearing clothes we've never seen before. To push the analogy about as far as we can, it's just a matter of choosing the clothes from the clothes we already have. Because when we're dressed, we're showing something of ourselves to the people around us. Most of the time, it just shows that we understand how to function in this society, that we wear clothes that cover us mostly, most of the time. But sometimes what we wear says more than that. Sometimes, for example, when we wear a poppy at Remembrance Day or around Remembrance Day, it shows people that we are aware of that. During times of mourning, when we go to a funeral, if we wear dark clothing, It doesn't say that this is all we own necessarily. It says we understand that this is a time where we need to express part of who we are in how we're dressed. When we go to a wedding, all things being equal, women don't wear white to weddings. Well, except at my wedding. This was not an issue for me. I had no idea it was until somebody pointed out that it's a good thing your mom's dead, or she'd kill two of your sisters-in-law. Because two of them wore white. I mean, you'd never mistake them for a bride, but still, you know, it's one of those things, and they're young enough, they had no idea. But how we dress says something about us often. And so the metaphor of clothing ourselves in these things is a very significant one, and a very powerful one. Because now that we've reached the ages that we've all reached, we clothe ourselves. Someone doesn't choose our clothing for us. Now, they may help us decide what goes with what, but that also works with the metaphor, because sometimes it's hard to know how to be compassionate or gentle. Sometimes it's hard to know, how do I initiate this forgiveness interaction with someone? And so I seek assistance, or we seek assistance from somebody else. But what we're called to do, when we ask the question, so now what? Christmas is over. What do we do now? This is what we do. We clothe ourselves with these characteristics that Jesus embodied so powerfully well for us in his life as we try to emulate him in all that we do. And it's a choice that we make. Not to be compassionate for the first time ever, because for none of us this won't be the first time ever, but to continue to grow in compassion, to continue to grow in gentleness and patience, bearing with each other, to continue to grow in the grace of forgiving, because it is a grace. It's a grace to those around us. Sometimes it's hard. Grace is a virtue. That's one of the ways you can tell something's a virtue rather than a vice. Sometimes it's hard. Vices are never hard. They're always easy. Virtues are tough sometimes. But we need to grow in those. And that's what we're called to do in this new calendar year coming up. At the beginning of this church year, we're reminded again that we can choose to take on these behaviors. That we can choose to be thankful. That we can allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Because that's what it says. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. We can push the peace of Christ out. It comes back to that whole idea that we've been entrusted with choice. God has given us volition. He said, I don't want you to do things because you have no control over what you're doing. I want you to choose virtue. I want you to choose to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. All of these things we're told we can choose to do. And as we stand on the cusp of a new year, it's not so much a matter of finding a bunch of new things to do. And likewise, as we look back on the year and the years past, it's not so much an opportunity for us to beat ourselves up about what we haven't done or what we haven't done as well as we want. We evaluate the year past to see what we did well and what we could do better. We're never called to look to our past and despair. We look to see what can we improve on. What do we do well and can even do better? For some of us, the acts of compassion are second nature. For some, I've heard, being patient is even second nature. That I find rather hard to believe. Just because I can be impatient. I'm impatient with technology fairly frequently. I'm impatient with some people. If I'm going to clothe myself in patience, what I'm going to do is try and be aware of these opportunities to be patient, hopefully before they even come up. There are people who, I don't even think they're trying, I don't even think they know that they're pushing some of my impatience buttons. But I know they do. So if I take the time to say part of why I'm on earth is to be patient and to exercise patience, when I go into this interaction with this person, I'm going to be ready for the fact that if I'm not careful, I'll get impatient. And I will try to look at them the same way God looks at them, as someone of ultimate value, who's worth my patience. That's a choice. We choose to do these things because these things are why we're here. This is what we were called to be, in the same way that Jesus came to earth to accomplish his particular call, not one that we have of redemption, but we emulate Jesus when we exercise the call that's upon us. Not as dramatic as Jesus, but every bit as important for us. So as we move into a new year, we're not called to some brand new behavior we've never done before, at least not for most of us. We're not called to move somewhere or to become something that we've never been before, at least not for most of us, perhaps for some, but not for most. For most of us, we are called to continue to grow in these graces, to grow in the sense of peace and forgiveness, being patient, compassionate, kind to those around us. But we're not called to do it alone. The Holy Spirit is within us, energizing those behaviors, and we're in a community of faith where we encourage each other as well. Through word and song, through meeting together. Just going to church, whether I'm up here or where you are or anywhere, reminds me that yes, I am called to be more than just my regular reflexes, my regular human appetite. But I'm called to be more than that. These things aren't impossible. We've never been asked to do what's not possible. Some of them aren't even very hard, which is nice. I like that. For some of you, humility is just second nature. Compassion is just second nature. Patience is just second nature. They aren't all hard, but they're part of who we are. And we're supposed to be these things to such an extent that people around us will see that this is part of who we are, in the same way that they can see the clothes we wear. That we might be the people that God has created us to be. And then when we do that, we spread his glory, his call, his everything to the people around us without having to say a word. So now what? Well, now what? We continue to be the best ourselves we can be. We set a goal of being a better us than we were last year. Not that last year was a disaster, but we can always do more. And we look forward to a year coming where we can clothe ourselves in these behaviors in new ways and in old, that those who see us might know that God is with us, that Christ's coming made a difference, that the Holy Spirit has indwelt us, giving us the ability to be more than ourselves while still being entirely ourselves. Amen.